Welcome to the Workology Podcast, a podcast for the disruptive workplace leader. Join host Jessica Miller-Merrill, founder of Workology.com, as she sits down and gets to the bottom of trends, tools, and case studies for the business leader, HR, and recruiting professional who is tired of the status quo. Now here's Jessica with this episode of Workology.
Welcome to the Workology Podcast, sponsored by Clear Company. Career pathing. I think for many of us in the HR industry working in an organization, the thought of creating a career pathing program seems like a pipe dream. But in today's economy, it should be an important part of not just your retention strategy, but a larger part of your employee developmental strategy. A lot of times we think that employees leave because of their managers, but research from Korn Ferry tells us that employees aren't just leaving because of their managers, they're also leaving because they're bored. Boredom is playing a factor. And to combat workplace boredom, among other things, career pathing is something companies of all sizes should not just be considering, but executing on. Today, I'm joined with Linda Janak. Linda is the CEO of Talent Guard. Prior to Talent Guard, she founded a successful career development franchise, the Janak Group, which served clients throughout the U.S. and Canada since 1999. Linda, welcome to the Workology Podcast.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm excited to be here.
Tell us more about your background and then the story behind Talent Guard.
Great. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I spent most of my time working for startup companies in Austin, Texas, primarily in marketing and product management roles. And during the dot-com bust many years back, I had the opportunity to apply my skills in marketing and product management to help employees transition as my company was having a downsizing. So that ultimately led me to starting a career transition company where I was helping more individuals with questions like, you know, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And how can I get happy again in my job? And that ended up becoming the Janak Group. And we had 500 coaches worldwide serving a multitude of individuals and businesses. And then that ultimately grew so fast that I had to hire coaches to be able to supply the services. And that really was Talent Guard 1.0. From there, what I thought predominantly was going to be private practice people adopting the certification and training program that I had built for career coaches ended up being HR professionals in these organizations needing assistance with helping to, I guess, build morale where in an organization where their hierarchies had flattened and people could no longer simply move up the ladder, they needed to move across. So some of the consulting projects that I did early on was helping these organizations to build career ladders that focused more on across the lattice versus up the traditional corporate ladder. And then that ultimately led me to Talent Guard with software to automate that employee career pathing journey.
I wanted you to kind of walk us through because you have definitely an interesting perspective and point of view and a great story behind how you came into the HR technology space. Can you level set us a little bit and talk us through what is a career path?
Wonderful. And I look at career pathing as ultimately the process that an individual goes through to think about their long-term career strategy. So in most instances, when you think about people have a natural life cycle. For most of us, we, get out of school, some, high school, some college, and then they'll enter the workforce with high hopes. As we are entering that workforce, there's a natural tendency to want to move up the traditional corporate ladder after we have either a certain number of years of experience or we've been in a role for an extended period of time. And, that is successful for organizations that have a very large job family structure, have many, many employees, lots of different job roles. It can be more challenging for organizations that have a flat structure, not a lot of hierarchy, but may have some interesting work. So when I'm thinking about career pathing, I think about it in terms of the ability to move up, across, and down, a deceleration. And I also think about those types of moves over the lifespan. So, you know, when I'm young and I get out of school, I'm in my job, you know, my first 5 years, then I may be getting married. I may have some children, you know, as a woman. And, you know, during that time, I'm, you know, I'm progressing in a variety of different ways. And then, you know, as I age across that life cycle, I may have parents that get sick and need some help. There's lots of things that can happen. So I do believe that your work career spans multiple different types of life cycles, and those things can happen many times over. So we need the ability as individuals to be able to have a way to express the pace with which I want to accelerate my career, the direction with which I want to accelerate the career, and the types of skills that I have and want to learn as I'm transitioning through different career changes. And that all happens along a time horizon. So that's really, when I think about career path, how I define that broadly.
How is a career path different than a succession plan or a form of employee development or training program?
We get that question a lot. And the way that I define succession, first and foremost, is that it is an organizational project that is typically managed by the senior leadership team that is focused on a key critical position or many critical positions that help the organization further plan their workforce strategy. So, for example, you might have a research-based hospital that has a particular PhD position that is hard to fill. And because that position is hard to fill, they need to start creating a talent pool that has many different types of individuals with many different backgrounds and help those individuals to gain the experiences and the education and the qualifications to help somebody fill that next role should that individual move on. So to me, that's a hard to fill position. And then you have other organizations that may have roles that have a significant financial impact to an organization. So maybe it's financial institution and we have a very stellar senior executive salesperson that has some pretty large accounts and has generated a significant amount of revenue. So if that individual should leave, that could cause some great risk and some great harm to the financials of that company. So we would want somebody to be able to progress into those roles. So from a succession point of view, the manager and the executive team have a lot of the control over the types of roles that they're going to plan for. Of course, usually those roles are critical to the organization, the individuals that are best matched for, you know, the different types of roles that are in there, and it's a top-down process. When you think about career pathing, it's usually a bottom-up process where employees are starting to build their 1 year, 3 year, 5 year time horizon. And they're beginning to explore different types of projects or assignments or special roles or full-time roles or part-time roles, whatever those career aspirations are that they have that are going to be best met with their aspirations. And their aspirations might be, like I said, to move up and across or to move down. But they're also looking at things like, how can I gain new skills? How can I expose myself to more experiences? How can I work on projects that are going to allow me to have more responsibility as I begin to, you know, develop in my career? So the employee is really thinking about, what am I going to do for me? How am I going to be self-directed in the kinds of things that get me super excited, that keep me engaged, that help me learn? And then there's an intersection between those. So the employee is focused on themselves. The management team is focused on corporate growth and risk. And then in the middle, because we have to be able to search for people who want to be in certain roles or who have certain talents or who can assess a certain way, they work really in harmony. So, for example, an organization could ask basically our software, is there anybody in the organization that is willing to move to Abu Dhabi, has these five skills, has a PhD, has a rating of 5 or above, and speaks fluent Urdu. And then we're able to generate a list of those individuals in the system who fit that profile, and they could be better matched and better qualified for a talent pool versus a single manager or two saying this person should be in a pool, quote unquote, just because.
I think that happens a lot where you'll just be in a meeting and they'll say, hey, we need somebody in Abu Dhabi. Here's the skills. Know anybody. And you might be missing out on really great people because you don't have an understanding of all their skills, abilities, and experiences to fill those roles within your organization.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, even as myself as a manager, when, you know, I've inherited certain employees as a manager, and sometimes HR doesn't give us access to their files. So we either have to ask that employee for a resume or we sit down and have a conversation with them. So I don't know where they've worked before. I don't know what their past work history has been. I don't really know anything about their capabilities. I might not have access to their performance history. All I know is I've got this person and I have to work with that individual. So that happens a lot in organizations. Whereas if you have the ability as a manager to begin to think about, let me understand all of the total assets of this employee, all their skills, not just the skills that they have in the job that they're in today, working for our specific company, but what are all those job roles and all those skills they've gained from their entire career history, and then tie that with their aspirations and any new assessments that we gain. There is a tremendous amount of data that we have at our fingertips that we can use as an organization to make much better decisions and be much more predictive about what that succession pool should look like, and if we've got the right talent at the right time when we actually need it.
I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that a 2018 report by Korn Ferry listed boredom as the number one reason that employees leave in an organization. I do not find this surprising, but I think it's really interesting. And I think that in my mind, career paths can help keep that boredom at bay and help those employees be able to find different areas and different skills. And they have a sort of a clear line of sight to that ultimate goal, whether it's in your organization or somewhere else. Are you seeing that in the work that you're doing with companies and clients?
I think that boredom comment is one that's very interesting, and it's kind of a new word that I've heard, at least in the industry. Typically, when I'm hearing something, it's around lack of skill development, lack of opportunity for advancement. And I could see how that fits in. If you're not really feeling like you're engaged in your job, or you're engaged in your role, you will start to become bored. So I think that is something that organizations should absolutely look for. And when we're thinking about building out a career path, it's not just a journey that an employee can look at and say, well, I want to go from this role and then the next role and the next role. The whole goal of career pathing is to close the gap in learning and development. And when we think about building out these career paths, they're based on skills and experiences and qualifications and preferences. So, for example, if we say that a product manager needs the ability to research in depth about trends, one of the things that we do is we tie learning to that competency and then the various indicators, if we have them, if there are different levels in people's jobs. So when an employee is looking at gaps, if I want to go from a product manager one to a product manager two, they can look at the skill of competitive research and see, do I have the minimum required for the role? If yes, great. Are there opportunities for me to learn to get better? That's when we serve up that curated learning plan. And if there is a gap, then what is the entire learning plan that I can engage in to close that gap so that when an opportunity for that product manager two comes available and a vacancy exposes itself in the system, that I am able to have that level of transparency of what makes an excellent product marketing two person. So I do believe that if you are going to do career pathing, you have to also be able to serve up various types of learning resources, whether it's a link to an organization's LMS for a course. It could be a PDF. It could be a standard operating procedure. It could be the ability to serve up a mentor or a coach or all of those different curated learning to close those gaps.
Let's take a reset. This is Jessica Miller Merrill, and you're listening to the Workology podcast sponsored by Clear Company. Today, we're talking with Linda Janak about how to drive a retention program with career pathing. You can connect with Linda Janak on Twitter at Linda Janak, LindaGinac.
This podcast has been sponsored by Clear Company, a complete talent management platform that unifies recruiting, onboarding, performance management, and goal tracking into one award-winning solution. Visit clearcompany.com for product information.
Let's talk about maybe how we can help employees stay engaged through a career pathing program or developmental program. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So when I think of organizations and their ability to begin a career pathing process, there are a couple things that need to occur for that to happen. First and foremost, we typically recommend that an organization have a good understanding of their job structure. So, for example, what are all the job families? And typically those are going to be things like your HR, your marketing, engineering, finance. And then within those job families, what are all of the various job roles that exist within those job families? And in addition to that, one of the things that's important to career pathing is understanding the job bands. So if I'm a marketing associate, that might be a job band 6. And if I'm a marketing manager, it might be a 5. And then, you work up to 1. There's various different ways that organizations approach that. But it's having that clear understanding of structure so that an organization like TalentGuard can use that existing structure to build it out electronically in an organization. Now, sometimes that can feel very overwhelming to HR because they're already overworked with everything that they have to do in addition to thinking about employee engagement. So oftentimes TalentGuard can provide that structure for an organization through our partnerships with companies like IBM, where they build out these industry best practice job models that have the families built, the grades built, the skills and the learning all built out. And then we just power that in our system. And we're typically just editing things from there. So you've got to have a job structure. The second thing that we like to add to the career pathing is something that can personalize career pathing for an organization. For example, if they have information that they put on their website, for example, a lot of companies today have very strong career pages. So if they have testimonials from employees, if they have success stories, if they have podcasts, we take all of that type of information and put it in our media center so that we can do things like day in the life of someone in this job role. And that serves as really good resources to help an employee figure out, do I really actually know what this job role entails? What is it like to be in that job? What sorts of things am I going to do every day? What's important or not important to the role? And what kind of advice can I get from people who've been in that role to help me figure out if that's a path where I like to go? And then the next component is having those development resources. So, TalentGuard can help serve up those development resources. A lot of organizations that we work with already have very strong LMS systems, and we make the connection between that LMS system and TalentGuard system to be able to serve up that curated learning experience. And then finally, of course, it all boils down to at what point are employees able to make those transitions? So if I have all the skills and the experiences, does it mean that I'm automatically going to get to be promoted or move into a lateral move? And the answer typically is no, right? It's still a process where one has to apply when a vacancy becomes available. They have to still go through the interviewing process and be selected like everybody else. But what they may have, that individual who's done the assessments and built up the learning plan, they have proof that they have demonstrated what it takes to be a great applicant for that role rather than, and you know how this works, Jessica, when someone comes up on the door and is like, I'm a perfect fit for this position. And behind the scenes, we're all going, that is not a perfect candidate for this role. Well, now an employee can understand, well, what does perfect look like? It's not a moving needle where the definition of that role might change from one manager to the next or one department to the next. We all have something that we can standardize on and agree upon of, hey, if somebody meets these things, that's going to be a good fit for the role. So bringing transparency to career mobility really starts to push on that value prop that we really care about, and that is driving employee engagement and career development.
I love that you guys put it all together and make it really easy for the HR practitioner as well as the manager or leader, and then the individual employee who's working towards their own professional or personal career goals It's all in a nice centralized place. Things are curated and aggregated, and it makes it easy, I think, for likely large organizations, but also the smaller, flatter organizations.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have maybe for a smaller company, and they might be listening to this podcast right now, about how they can consider maybe starting or expanding on a formal career program, career pathing program? Because my thought is that it's not something that everybody has, but they should.
Yeah, I believe everybody deserves a career path, whether you're a large company or a small company. And we do have some small companies. And typically what we do with our smaller organizations is, of course, we help them build out some of that job structure. We keep it light. We keep it simple until they become experienced in the system and can add their tech stack, for example. But when you think about career paths, it's not just always up the ladder. As I said earlier, we really have to think across the ladder. So if we have a QA engineer, how can that QA engineer become a software developer? It's not always a clear line of sight for people. So a QA engineer can look at what does it take to become a software engineer and study the different types of skills or courses or certifications that may be needed for that role so that they can begin working on those skills to be able to close that gap. And so for smaller organizations, it's typically one of helping the employee to understand what is needed in their existing role, helping an employee to understand what may be needed in other roles, whether they're across or up, help employees get on a very focused, targeted career development plan where they're meeting with their manager regularly, talking about, hey, here's some of the skills that I'm gaining. And sometimes, I always say, job roles, they're not all equal, because sometimes there may be projects that you can work on, there are job rotations, there are assignments, stretch assignments that you may be able to work on, and it may not be a full-time move, but you're able to gain the kinds of experiences and responsibilities for those future moves. So I always encourage organizations to have that perspective as well. And what it really does, and I think this is where a lot of value comes in, it opens the dialogue between the employee and the manager, because now managers know how to talk about skills, because we can give the manager coaching tips. We can help with interview questions. We can have a very targeted development plan that is very visible with knowing where the employee is and what the employee is working on and how it's priority. And we can gain 360 feedback on those development options so that the manager could be exposed not only to his or her own views of that employee, but other people who may be working with that individual on a particular project or on a particular committee and seeing what other people think about that individual. So we broaden that playing field to demonstrate the kind of skills that can be gained over time.
We've been talking a lot in several episodes, past podcast episodes, about how to help drive engagement and retention, and technology is a huge part of that. Can you talk about how Talent Guard helps to really drive that engagement and I guess eliminate that boredom or that possibility that an employee, one of your best employees or someone who's mm-hmm. an A player or even a B player, but they're valuable to the organization, how we can keep them from maybe moving on to a new organization and a new career opportunity without you?
Great. So technology is important for career pathing for many reasons. And you know, Jessica, when you're on an airplane and you're going to the back of their sponsored magazine and you open it up and you're looking at that airline map of where a certain airline might have certain hubs, well, career pathing feels like that without technology. And you're looking at trying to find a line from one destination to the next just to figure out, you know, where you're going. And when a single person is in an organization and they may have global operations. So they're in, you know, every country. They may have 5,000 different types of job roles, and they have thousands and thousands of vacancies, and they have many different types of managers and many different types of mentors, and all those things are disparate across many different types of groups that may be managing those. It's really hard when you're in that ecosystem to begin to think about how am I as this individual who is not trained to manage my own career, because those skills are really not taught in the university system. They're not taught in the workplace. They're barely taught in high school, right? We're taught just to take an assessment. We get a career interest, and then basically we go pursue some major, and then we take some job from there. Well, when you think about technology, and as you said earlier, it can consume the brunt of the work, right? So it can hold the job roles, it can hold the assessments, it can hold the learning options, and it gives employees a single point of reference to go to say, to express their interest, hey, I'm in this role, my aspiration is to be in here. And then you have that technology working in the background to make those intelligent recommendations about potential career paths that you can go on, or potential vacancies that are good for you, or potential mentors that might help you fill gaps. So technology can go a long way to enabling mobility in the workforce, but that's part of the conversation. The other part is that you do want to complement it with engagement with the management team, with the HR team, right? So when we have all this data, we really want to do something about it. And we are a human organization, so we have to be able to have real live face-to-face conversations. So technology is part of the conversation. And I believe that that management and the HR teams are the other part of the equation, because technology in and of itself cannot enable a person to move into a different role. We have to have multiple voices in that process. And if we have multiple voices in that process and we do start to enable people to engage in these extended learning experiences, then we can begin to truly see an impact in our engagement numbers. We can reduce boredom and ultimately reduce turnover.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Where can people go to learn more about you and what you do at TalentGuard?
I would encourage people to go to our website at talentguard.com. They can also look on YouTube. We have a channel on YouTube, and we have a tremendous amount of videos. We have a tremendous amount of webinars. And if somebody's just wanting to do some research on career pathing or any of our other modules, then I think that is a good starting place.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, Jessica.
At Workology, we're making HR learning and recertification simple with Learn, our on-demand learning platform providing 24/7 access to pre-approved HRCI and SHRM courses. Visit workology.com/learn to find out more. And use the discount code podcast to save 20% off your membership. Now, back to Jessica.
I hope Linda's interview shed some light on career pathing. It seems simple, but it is so much more than an employee flowchart in the break room. This is one of the biggest misconceptions I'm hearing from not just employees, but senior leadership too. Things like competencies and intentional training program development are critical to helping employees not just be productive, but feel productive. However, these things do take time, money, and strategy to really build and leverage for the long term. Thank you for joining the Workology podcast sponsored by Clear Company. This podcast is for the disruptive workplace leader who's tired of the status quo. This is Jessica Miller Merrill. Until next time, visit workology.com to listen to all our previous podcast episodes.
Production services for the Workology podcast with Jessica Miller Merrill provided by TotalPicture.com.